generous service, justice, and love. This is to be learned in the family. It's the vital cell of society. The role of the family goes beyond procreation and education to embrace, in association with other families, many social and political activities for the common good. That's Familiaris Consortio, number 44, Pope John Paul II. Your families get united and you support each other in social and political activities. Okay? I, as a priest, can never mention parties or persons regarding politics. I can only name principles, and believe me, I name them. But priest, we're committed to carrying on the work of Jesus Christ, and we're not going to compromise what has withstood so many storms for 2,000 years for any one election. You think we're going to lower ourselves for one election? We're going to proclaim the principles, though. But you laity, you can name parties, and you can name persons, and you can be active, and you can start non-government organizations. But ultimately, I preach it like this. I've gone all around the country. I know what's out there. And I start off this way. Yellow party, purple party, green party, chartreuse party, I don't care. I made my choice to follow Jesus Christ. He is my king, and I'm a member of his kingdom, and that's what comes first. And I'm going to listen to my king no matter what. And whatever he says, that's what I'm going to live. And my king tells me that life is sacred from conception to natural death, and there is a hierarchy of truths. There's a hierarchy of truths. If you don't have life, you don't have anything else to discuss, right? Catholics can disagree on ways to address the issue of poverty. Catholics can disagree on some aspects on the ways to address immigration. But we cannot disagree on the fact that life is sacred from conception to natural death. We cannot disagree that marriage is between one man and one woman, right? There's a hierarchy of truths, and you have to know that. And don't let people get you caught up in this, you know, false compassion where they separate love from truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But Scripture also says God is love. Love and truth go together. But the world, in the name of false compassion, tries to separate them. And it's destroying us because sometimes we're not formed well enough to be able to stand up to proclaim the truth in love, right? And there's a way to proclaim it. But the bottom line is, we all made our decision for Jesus. And you know, Pope Francis came and spoke to Congress and others just about a year ago. And he spoke about issues that were on both sides of political parties. But did they listen to him? Did they rise above politics? Politics is good. You know, politics is something from God. He wants us to be a society. But and there can be dialogue, you know. Pope Francis talks about the mysticism of encounter, of really dialoguing, really listening to others. What are they really searching for? Family is the vital cell of society. And I urge you all to have support groups of families studying our faith. You have the catechism, you have Scripture, and you know who you belong to. This life is short. Scripture says, you know, it's 70 years or 80 for those who are strong. Now people might be making it to 80 or 90. My mom wants to make it to 100. I think she will. She's pretty dedicated to her. You know, she's got these things, you know, 10,000 steps every day. You know, all these things, you know. She's become a vegetarian. It's going to be hard when I go back there. But anyway, I think they'll break out meat for me. But these three things of family, I hope you understand it. It's all in the catechism. I could spend, you know, hours on this. We don't have hours. I want to get down to the simple living of the gospel, the ABCs of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, okay? So you understand the three aspects of family, marriage and family, covenant, domestic church, vital cell of society, okay? Now, the ABCs of Mother Teresa. A, and this is how it starts now, marriage and family. It's basically mercy, almsgiving, put into simple ABCs. It's the gospel in simple ABCs. If you put this into practice in your family, you'll be blessed. A, always have the courage to say sorry. We talked about that, right? I can always find my share in what was wrong, you know. And have the courage to be right rather than right. The courage to be right rather than right, which means to be right with God rather than I gotta be right all the time. Always have the courage to say sorry. Be kind, be compassionate. The word kind comes from seeing another person as the same kind as me. I see you created in the image and likeness of God. You're the same kind as me. All giraffes are the same kind, right? Some might be taller or wider, but they're all giraffes. We're of the same kind, be compassionate. Compassion, you learn from Mary, compassion. Jesus has the passion on the way of the cross. You're going to enter into Passion Week. Mary is there, compassion, with passion. When we say, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy in the Greek, it actually comes from the Hebrew, hesed, which means not just to stay on the outside and feel sorry for someone's situation and to go in there and help, but it means to actually see with another person's eyes, to think with another person's mind, to experience what they're going through, what they call empathy in psychology. Be kind, be compassionate, right? C, control your judgments. Control your judgments. Now, let me address that. Scripture says, do not judge and you shall not be judged. So you have so many young people today saying, don't judge me. Well, what Jesus means by don't judge means do not make rash judgments. You understand the difference, rash judgments and judgments? God gave us a reason. We're supposed to make judgments. When I was a child, I was a safety boy. I don't know if you know what safety boys are, but, you know, the orange stripe thing and crossing guard, you know. I'm still a safety boy, I guess. But stop, look, and listen before you cross a street, right? You're making a judgment. Should I cross the street? There's so many things we need to make judgments about. Objective judgments, though. You make objective judgments with love. And love guides all things. But it doesn't mean just turn off your brain and not make objective judgments. But we don't make rash judgments. That's why this says control your judgments. Control your judgments. See. D, don't let yourself get discouraged. Discouragement is not from your Heavenly Father, it's from the evil one. When we do spiritual direction and we help people with discernment according to St. Ignatius of Loyola, we're looking for discouragement sometimes. Discouragement without courage. God created us to be courageous people. I think there was a Christian film out there called Courageous. It was pretty motivating, right? About family life. And a man decided to finally be the father in his family. Supernatural courage comes from the Holy Spirit. Fortitude is the gift. Don't let yourself get discouraged. Most people think that the only thing the devil does is attack us with temptations. That's 50% of what he does. But for people like yourselves who are trying to live the faith, discouragement is 50% of what he does. He tries to get you discouraged. Don't get discouraged. E, every minute is precious. Don't waste your time. There's a famous saying, leave the past to God's mercy, the future to his providence, and live in the present. And what you do with your present is your present to God. Do you want to give God a present? Live in the present moment. The holiest people I know live in the present moment. Practice the presence of God. I need to do what I need to do right now and trust that things will be better if I live in that moment now, responding to grace. Grace is in the present moment. It's not in the speculation of the future. Don't waste your time. F, find out what is nice in each other. When I'm doing marriage prep, sometimes some couples, I urge them to do this every day. Every day I urge them to try to draw out something beautiful in their spouse. And so every day they're going to try to bring that out in their spouse. And at the end of the day, they're going to try to guess, what was it that you tried to bring out in me today? Because people are mysteries, right? We're even mysteries to ourselves. And we're deep. We don't even know ourselves that well. Remember this saying, people are mysteries. They are not problems to be solved. So many people walk through life, I'm going to solve you, I'm going to solve you, I'm going to solve you, I'm going to solve you. If all of you go in the boxes that I create for all of you, and don't you come out of that box. They think like everything's going to be wonderful. Everything's really going to be messed up if we put people in boxes. People are mysteries that unfold. Help the mystery unfold in a positive way. Find out what is nice in each other. G, give until it hurts. Mother Teresa, they just call her mother. So mother says, is a famous quote, love hurts, but you need to give love, and it will hurt, but eventually you'll reach the point where there's no more hurt and there's only love. And that's true. Love hurts. H, have deep respect for each other. Respect. I was going to go into my Detroit, you know, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, but anyway. Have deep respect for each other. If you really want to love God, love one another. This one convicts me all the time. St. John says, how can you say you love the God you don't see when you don't love the one, your brother, who's right there who you can see, right? Jesus himself says, you did it to me. If you want to love God, love one another. J, just do small things with great love. That's most of our lives. Most of our lives are doing small things, hidden things. It's the same with Jesus. 30 years hidden in a carpentry shop, some of them in Egypt. I like the play on words, though. Do small things with great love because, it says in Scripture we can do all things with God. Well, we can do small things with love, and God is love. So you can do all things with God. You can do small things with love. That's what matters the most, is the amount of love you put into things. I'll tell you this much. I've learned this, my brothers and sisters, and pray for me that I live by it. But finally, I could be here doing one of the greatest acts of love. One of the greatest acts of love ever is giving you Jesus as you come to Holy Communion, right? But if I'm doing it without love, I'm just going through a function, body of Christ, body of Christ, body of Christ, body of Christ, body of Christ. There's no eternal value in that for, you know, I'm not growing in love. But if I see Jesus going into you, and I love to see this, how he's so small and he's going to go into your life and he's going to change your whole life, and I say, body of Christ. Wow. The same action, same words, but it's the love inside that has eternal value. And for all eternity, that's going to be the eternal, your ability to receive God. How much you grow in love is going to be your capacity for all eternity to receive God. Blessed Virgin Mary did everything with love. Do small things with great love. K, keep your heart clean. Your heart is the center of your being. It's not just the organ that pumps blood. Although I have a thoracic surgeon who's my good friend, Dr. Frank Schmidt, when he talks about the four chambers of the heart, you know, there's two that bring in the blue blood, and then the blue blood goes through the lungs and gets oxygenated and becomes red blood, right? That's how it works, the four chambers. And wow, I mean, how God designed us. I mean, everything is just so amazing, because who is the blue blood? Who's the blue? Thank you, fathers. Who's the blue? Mary. And then the oxygenation, the air that meets that blue blood, who's the air? The Holy Spirit. And then you get the red sacred blood of Jesus in your very being. It's in us in every aspect of our being. So beautiful. Keep your heart clean. L, learn to pray, love to pray, and pray often. We talked about prayer. I'm telling you, prayer is a relationship with the living God, and pray for the gift of prayer. And you will have insights and you will have guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prays in you. But you just have to, you know, start to develop the habit. It's like a workout, a spiritual exercise. And but you will be blessed indeed. The most greatest thing you can do for your family and your society, your marriage, your family, is pray. And most of that means listen to God. It's good to go, you know, share with him, you know, your desires. He inspired those. It's good to cast your cares on him. But he knows everything, and he wants to share with you his design for your life. M, make time for each other in your family. Make time for each other in your family. I don't know what the solution is. You got to pray, but I don't know if maybe, you know, we all have to, you know, deposit our smartphones in a basket from dinner time until the rosary's done, maybe. But you got to figure out a solution, because we got to start looking at each other. I mean, I was on a college campus, University of Kansas, one year, KU. I was, you know, working there. It was a beautiful campus ministry. And sometimes it really did look like two college kids were walking down the street texting each other right next to each other. We need to look in each other's eyes and each other's hearts, right? Make time for each other in your family. And family is such a support. I'm so blessed to have such a good family, such a blessed family. Once my mom got this black sheep turned around, it became a blessed family, honestly. But that's why I think sometimes God calls people like me to the priesthood. He knows it's the only way I can be saved. But N, never tell lies. Never tell lies. When I talk to people about lying, and some people say, well, it's just a little white lie, here's what I share with people. Jesus is the truth. The truth is a person. The truth is not an idea. If it's an idea, then we can all just, it's not that important. But since the truth is my best friend who died for me, I don't want to ever offend him. And a lie is opposite to who he is. So I never tell lies. Plus, what is the reason most people lie? Some people do it to try to make themselves look better, but mostly it's to avoid the consequences of something we shouldn't have done. How do you learn the best way not to do things again? You experience the consequences, right? But if we just lie, it just gets worse.